So we read Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, The Characteristics of King Puranjana. And to this text 4, Shreyastvam Katamat Rajan,
Shreyastvam Katamat Rajan,
Karmanatmanaihase,
Karmanatmanaihase,
Dukkahani Sukhavapti, Shreyastanneha Cheshyate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Narada Muni asked King Prachina Barhishat, "My dear King, what do you desire to achieve by performing these fruitive activities? The chief aim of life is to get rid of all miseries and enjoy happiness. But these two things cannot be realized by fruitive activity." Purport. In this material world, there is a great illusion which covers real intelligence. A man in the mode of passion wants to work very hard to derive some benefit, but he does not know that time will never allow him to enjoy anything permanently. Compared with the work one expends, the gain is not so profitable. Even if it is profitable, it is not without its distresses. If a man is not born rich and he wants to purchase a house, cars, and other material things, he has to work hard day and night for many years in order to possess them. Thus, happiness is not attained without undergoing some distress. Actually, pure happiness cannot be had within this material world. If we wish to enjoy something, we must suffer for something else. On the whole, suffering is the nature of this material world, and whatever enjoyment we are trying to achieve is simply illusion. After all, we have to suffer the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death. We may discover many fine medicines, but it is not possible to stop the sufferings of disease or death. Actually, medicine is not a counteracting agent for either disease or death. On the whole, there is no happiness in this material world, but an illusioned person works very hard for so-called happiness. Indeed, this process of working hard is actually taken for happiness. This is called illusion. Therefore, Narada Muni asking Prachina Barhishat what he desired to attain by performing so many costly sacrifices. Even if one attains a heavenly planet, he cannot avoid the distresses of birth, old age, disease, and death. Someone may argue that even devotees have to undergo many distresses in executing austerities and penances connected with devotional service. Of course, for the neophytes, the routine of devotional service may be very painful, but at least they have the hope that they will ultimately be able to avoid all kinds of distresses and achieve the highest perfectional stage of happiness. For the common karmis, there is no such hope, because even if they are promoted to the higher planetary systems, they are not guaranteed freedom from the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death. Even Lord Brahma, who is situated in the highest planetary system, Brahmaloka, has to die. Lord Brahma's birth and death may be different from an ordinary man's, but within this material world, he cannot avoid the distresses of birth, old age, disease, and death. If one is at all serious about attaining liberation from these miseries, he must take to devotional service. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma cha me divyam evanyo veti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam iti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Thus, after attaining full Krishna consciousness, the devotee does not return to this material world after that. He goes back home, back to Godhead. That is the perfect stage of happiness, unblemished by any trace of distress. Om Ajnanati Marandasya Agnananjana Salakaya Chakshurin Militan Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Charu Swaminiti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pashyatya Adishitarini Vanche kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyeva cha patitanan pavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srinivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today's topic is fruitive activities and how it cannot give us happiness, but that we must engage in devotional service to Lord Krishna in order to attain perfect happiness in this world. And so there are different kinds of paths described in the Vedas, and most of the Vedas actually describe sacrifices to many demigods with the karmis, and those who follow the karmakanda path, they perform these sacrifices in order to achieve certain results. If one wants a beautiful husband, then the ladies were performing a sacrifice to Uma and the wife of Lord Shiva. Or even we see in the pastimes of the gopis were worshipping Katyayini also to get different results. In our Damodar pastime, Nanda Maharaj, he was performing a sacrifice for Lord Indra. And so these are performed and described in the Vedas, and in order to achieve those results, one had to go through a lot of preparations, because there needed to be gold paraphernalia. One needed to be already very rich to achieve those results. But still, in this part here, King Puranjana was doing so many sacrifices, and Narada Muni came to him to enlighten him in spiritual knowledge. He was asking him, why are you performing those fruitive activities? Because there cannot be any happiness achieved with it. Some temporary happiness may come. One may even go to the heavenly planets and there enjoy for 10,000 years on the heavenly planets in the body of a demigod, where of course there are distresses, like we know in our gross material body, aren't so much present in the body of a demigod, but still, it's temporary. It cannot be forever. Yeah? After many years of enjoying in the heavenly planets, one has to come back down to earth and engage in the fruitive activities again. So, what is the ultimate use of such performance of those activities? I found some very interesting quotes in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is instructing Arjuna about performing fruitive activities. In the second chapter, Krishna says, Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phala hetur bhur ma te sangotva karmani. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. And so we can say, if fruitive activities do not bring us the ultimate result of perfect happiness, then why are we performing them? And sometimes when you go on Sankirtan, then people bring up this argument that if everybody would become a Hare Krishna, what would happen to the world? Everybody would stop working, and the whole society would collapse because nobody would work anymore. Everybody would just, you know, sit in the temple and chant all day. And then what's going to happen with all our economy? The economy will collapse, and what will happen to the society? So people are afraid of our movement because they think that we preach inactivity. But in fact, we do not preach inactivity from material activities, because ultimately if such revolution in the world would happen, then ultimately the devotees will also go hungry and will be impelled, will be forced to act. And that's the way of this material nature. You are forced to act according to your modes of material nature you are in. And Krishna also explains it to Arjuna that if you go to the forest and sit as a renunciant, as a jnani, and meditate in the forest, and you give up fighting in the battlefield, then still you'll be forced to come back to the battlefield and fight because it is your nature. So one cannot overcome one's nature unless one comes to the pure platform of devotional service. And so, and that's a long way to go. And so in our devotional service we have to find our varna, actually our specific qualities, so that we can be engaged in a service which is to our satisfaction. And many devotees sometimes are put into a service that they do not like, and they're actually, you know, forced to go through it, you know, day after day. And since they actually perform the activities against their desire, so then some frustration may come, and they may, you know, leave Krishna consciousness. So it's very important that we actually engage everybody according to his own specific qualities and the specific modes of material nature which are, you know, working on our deha. And deha is the body which we are in. And the atma. And atma can actually, the word atma means everything actually. It means the body, it means also the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, the soul. And that's actually our whole nature, our whole being. And since we are now conditioned by this material body, we are, you know, it's part of our being. Although it is a temporary part which can be transcended, but it is there and we cannot deny it. And so therefore somebody may be influenced more by the mode of passion, and then he needs to engage in the activities like business or, you know, doing very passionate activities. Somebody may be in the mode of ignorance, and then one also has to find a very simple service for such a person, like cleaning or whatever. And then there are those who are brahmanas, so they are engaged in teaching. They can become teachers in the college, and they can become brahmanas. And so everybody has to be engaged according to one's nature. But ultimately, one should not perform this with the idea of gaining something from it. Because the whole difference between fruitive activities and devotional service is that in fruitive activities you're desiring a result. And you desire that something will happen. You work hard in society, then you expect that you will get a salary. With that salary you can enjoy, you know, life, you can buy all the good things. And in devotional service we should have a different conception of mentality. Our mentality should be that we have the right to perform our duty, whatever modes of material nature we're in, but we're not entitled to the fruits of our action. And that's Krishna's instruction to Arjuna here. He has to perform his duty, his activities, which are allotted to him, but he should never be attached to the results of doing this activity. Whether he wins the fight or he loses, that result should be up to Krishna. Also in the 14th chapter, which is the description about the three modes of material nature, we find a very interesting verse. Nanyam gunibhya kartaram yada drashtanupashyati gunibhyascha paramveti madbhavam sodigashyati. When one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. So the devotee has to see that in all the activities which are performed, it is ultimately not he, it is not the Atma, not the soul who is performing those activities. And the Atma is like the driver in the car. And the driver in the car, you know, doesn't do anything. He just sits and, you know, stirs, gives some directions, you know, according to his desire. He can go left or he can go right. But ultimately, it is the car who will be driving 120 kilometers on the highway. You know, he cannot run so fast. And so, he's just the driver. He's actually just sitting. One could actually see him as inactive. But ultimately, he's doing some activity as he is, you know, conducting the car. He's pushing the pedals, you know, he's steering the wheel, and he's changing gears. But ultimately, that's just giving the directions to the machine, the deha, the body which we are in, and the Atma is the driver. And so the body is doing the activities ordained by the three modes of material nature. But the soul is just a witness. He is just within this body, and he just desires and gives directions through the brain or whatever the scientist may explain that, you know, is actually directing this body. And the soul desires. These desires are transmuted into the mind, and then the mind gives directions to the brain and whatever gross material elements there are within this body. And so in that way a devotee can see that ultimately it is only these material modes of nature, the material energy which is performing all the activities which are going on in this world. And thus, if one has that consciousness, then it becomes more easy to renounce from the fruits of material actions. One can see that one is inactive in action, and one is active in inaction. And there is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is explaining this to Arjuna, that you have to learn that science of the consciousness of acting within inactivity and being inactive within some action. And so it is maybe difficult to understand because we are so much identifying with the body, but by studying these verses and meditating upon them, one can see that ultimately it is only whatever is going on, it is just ordained by the material modes of material nature. And if one knows that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is transcendental, janma karma cha me divyam, if one understands that the activities and the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are transcendental to these material modes, and then if one fully understands this, one gets this realization, then one returns back home, back to Godhead. So I'll read one last verse, and in two verses further, 22 to 25, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, He who does not hate illumination, attachment and delusion when they are present, or long for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active. So here it's Krishna says that the Atma, the soul, is not active. It is only the modes of material nature alone who are active. Who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal towards the desirable and the undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of material nature. So, it's a very big task to perform, to be in such a consciousness, but that's ultimately the perfection which we have to strive for. And this world is a world of duality. Everything in this material world has the polarity. It has a positive and a negative. Positive influences, negative influences, you know, heat and cold, honor, dishonor, distress and happiness. It all comes our way on automatic pilot, in fact. It comes automatically. One cannot stop it. You know, one day we'll be in a good mood, the other day we'll be in a very terrible mood, and you know, someday we'll be very healthy, you know, feel a lot of energy, and another day we may be sick. So there is a polarity in this duality in this world, and the duty of the devotee is that one should actually go through all these, you know, dualities equipoised, that one should always be dhira, one should always be, you know, steady in mind, and whatever comes on our path, we just, you know, we go on and we remain meditating upon Krishna. So maybe you have some questions or comments.
Yes, please. Comment on this argument that people sometimes give, what would happen if everybody became Hare Krishna? Who could ask what would happen to the world if anybody became, if everybody became whatever you are doing? So it's not possible. Everything is needed in the world.
Function. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, just out of fear that they will lose the things they are attached to. That's what impels them, but it's actually makes no sense that they give such a money. Yes, Prabhu? The world would change, definitely. Yeah. But even if you look in the time of Lord Krishna, there will always be people in all the different modes of material nature. There will always be people in the modes of ignorance who need such a things. Like, yeah, you say that, okay, bars, you know, many of the sinful activities will be driven out. King Parikshit, you know, didn't allow those things in his kingdom. But if we look at Krishna's, in the time of, you know, Krishna's being on the planet, and there were also theater performances and, you know, some kind of, you know, enjoyment, you know, clubs. In the Ramayana, the monkeys were drinking, you know, some beverage from honey. So those things will always be there, because there will always be people in all the different kind of combinations of material modes. But the world may change, of course, if everybody turns into a devotee, but it's also like practically impossible that everybody, you know, will become a devotee. Somehow or other, okay. If in a kingdom like King Parikshit it's implemented that everybody has to accept the religion, then of course it will be implemented. But there will be always people who will not follow everything. Because, yeah, some people are just too simple to follow the path of devotional service. Some of those things, yeah. Those, in every society, something will be there. Yeah. Last question? No. Okay, let's stop here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.